Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
This is a Lip Media podcast.
Hey, Juicy Lemoners, before we start the show, we wanted to remind you to follow and subscribe to us on whichever podcasting app you're listening to. And as always, enjoy the show. Is being bilingual cool now? This week on Lemon, if you could speak to your friends in another language, would you do it? And how have your parents' words shaped you as an adult? And later on the show, we have some new exciting recommendations and big announcements to make. Each week, we dissect the conversation Asian millennials are having, so don't go anywhere because you're listening to Lemon.
Hello and welcome to The Lemon Show. As always, my name is Philip Cooch.
And my name is Thomas Tan.
Why do you always smile, like laugh when I do my introduction?
No, this time, because usually before we prep doing podcasting, we always like check the volume. I was like, okay, speaking to the volume, like speaking to the microphone, and I'm like right here adjusting the dial, right? And whenever you're speaking as like a pretest, you're like, hello, welcome to The Lemon Show. And like, no, do it for real, because I need to gauge the volume. And then now you're like, hello. And I'm like, what, you're trying to change the dial.
Trying to adjust the volume. Yeah. Whoops, I always underestimate how loud I'm going to get on the show. But Tom, I want to ask you, this week has been a big week for a lot of our US listeners. The final presidential debate has happened. What was your favorite quote or favorite moment to come out of that presidential debate?
Well, I'm a bit guilty. I didn't watch it.
No shits given.
I mean, like, the only person that watched it in my house, it's just me and my mum, but my mum watched it. But I could, because I was doing music at the time, but I could hear her giggle in the other room. And there was one moment, I remember this moment, and I was actually talking to Quinn on WhatsApp at the same time. But then my mum just started going like...
I have a feeling like, I know what moment it was.
And I was like, oh, why did she laugh? And then I went back into the room, and then my mom told me exactly why. And it's because President Trump said, I am the least racist person in this room. So obviously she laughed, and that made me like laugh a lot.
That is the most ridiculous moment, because he was in a room full of people, and... you know, the moderator of the debate was an African-American woman. Mm. And he has the audacity to say that he's the least racist person in the room. I just had to say, I laughed so much. I just couldn't stop laughing. And I think everyone else around the world just couldn't stop laughing. But I did have one commentary to make about this presidential debate. And it was like, you know, race was talked a lot about in this debate. But of course, Asian people did not get any mention. And we face some of the biggest racial... you know, slurs and abuse this year from the president himself. So, look, I'm not surprised that we didn't get mentioned or we weren't noticed in this debate. But, you know, look, a lot of our listeners are from the US. So, if you guys are there, you guys know what to do. Go out and vote. Yeah, please do it. Like, yeah, just vote. But, look, we have some correspondence from last week. Last week, we spoke about the supermarket and whether... the Asian aisle was racist, and we got loads and loads of messages from our listeners.
Did we?
We did. Oh. And look, our listeners were very divided. We had some listeners who were saying that, you know, like we said last week, they didn't understand why Asian ingredients were categorized all under one Asian category. And, you know, Italian foods were broken up into their own categories and were with the other oils and stuff like that. But there was one good point that one of our listeners did bring up, and it was that supermarkets are giving the opportunity for non-Asian people to discover Asian ingredients for the first time. And it's also, you know, it's great that they're not having a monopoly on Asian ingredients as well, and that, you know, the existence of Asian-run groceries still exist because they're not focused on monopolizing everything. Mm. So I thought that was a really fair point to make, because we didn't think of that last week.
Amen to that.
But as always, if you guys have anything you want to say about the show, our DMs are always open. If you want to DM us privately, we'll always there to listen. Or otherwise, head over to our Instagram or Facebook page and let us know what you think.
Let's take a live look now outside.
Ladies and gentlemen of America.
Ariana Grande lick and spit on the merchandise.
There can be 100 people in the room.
Leave Britney alone.
Catch me outside, how about that?
Rise and shine.
China.
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 So our first segment is about these, the idea came from these YouTubers who did an interview with the South Morning China Post. And the sisters were, they're YouTubers, and their YouTube name is Tiff With Me. The sisters' names are Tiffany and Michi Lim. And they're kind of like a big deal in Singapore, like they're massively popular there. I think they've got like almost 700,000 subscribers on YouTube, which is massive.
Oh, that's a lot.
I know, there's like...
And Singapore's so tiny.
It's like, yeah, Singapore's like 7 million people, so that's like...
Is it?
10%. Yeah, 10% of like Singapore's population.
Wow.
Look, there's... they're massive. And I think what was really interesting about this interview was they purposely decided to do their content in Chinese because they said that a lot of people in Singapore have lost their, you know, their touch with their mother tongue, which is Chinese. And they purposely wanted to do their content in Chinese because they wanted people to, I guess, like learn to love speaking Mandarin, learn how to speak Chinese again. But they also said something that was really interesting. They said that speaking Chinese in Singapore is uncool. And I just want to get your opinion, Tom, because you used to live there and you may have not dated a few Singaporeans.
Maybe.
So I feel like you're the most qualified out of both of us to comment on this.
Well, yes, I have lived in Singapore for quite a while. I mean, not quite a while, but I mean like half a year. And I've traveled to Singapore so many times. And I do have a lot of friends who are from Singapore.
What about your exes?
Maybe. But the thing with Singapore, right, I'm not bashing Singapore or anything like that, but there's very few Singaporeans that I know that whenever I do hang out with them who actually truly do use their true Singaporean accents. And what I mean by this is a lot of the people who I do come across, when they happen to move to Australia, within a couple of months, their accent like changes to Australian. Whenever they're around American people, their accent just, again, changes to American. So I feel like they've...
They're like, what are those animals called? Chameleons?
Chameleons?
Chameleons, yeah. They just adapt to whoever they hang out with. Is that what you're trying to say?
I think so. But it's, I don't know whether it's a bad thing or not, but it's just something that I've really observed. And seeing these two girls who are Singaporean, who speak Chinese really well, I feel that what they're doing is actually a brilliant job and to embrace something which they've actually taught. I do maybe agree a little bit that, especially in Singapore, speaking Chinese does seem what we, like, in quotations, a bit uncool. And I don't know why. And for me, growing up in Australia, right, I grew up speaking English. If I see my friends speaking Chinese, I'm like, whoa, you speak two languages. I failed Chinese school. And then that's what I say. So I guess from an Eastern perspective, I guess it's kind of the other way around.
I was thinking about this. I think it's because in Singapore, there's such a globalized city. Like, it's a very international city.
Very multicultural.
Very, very multicultural. There's lots of expats there working there. So a lot of English is present in Singapore. And so maybe it's about feeling belong to, like, you know, feel like you belong in a bigger community, like the global community. So maybe, I don't know, like, I don't really know Singapore that well to comment on it.
Even like the suburbs, it's really westernized. Like, you have Balestier, you have Clark Quay, like, because of the way that it used to be colonized, a lot of British influence has been on Singapore, but it's still stuck. Like, when I was living in Singapore, even ordering like chicken rice, right, I got really nervous because my Chinese is terrible. So I'm like, ayi, we are fun, and obviously she'll be like, oh, you're not from around here. And then she'll be like, whoa, your Chinese is impressive considering that you're an expat, in quotations. So I think it's kind of the culture. If you are non-Chinese, you are non-Singaporean speaking Chinese, it's impressive for Singaporeans. But if you are Singaporean speaking Chinese, they're like, oh.
Okay, I have something to say, but I'm going to preface this and say this disclaimer, like, I'm quoting a friend here. And I know that we have a few Singapore listeners, so please do not take offense about what I'm about to say. And I think...
I'm scared.
I think this is kind of an ongoing feud between Malaysia and Singapore. So I have a friend that's Malaysian. And I remember a couple of years ago, he was saying to me that Singaporeans think that they're better than Malaysians because they're more globalized and they're such a globalized economy. And he was saying that, you know, people in Singapore think that just because they can, a lot of them speak English, that they think that they're better than Malaysians.
Mm.
Because, of course, like Singapore used to be part of Malaysia, but they broke away and had their own independence.
Mm.
Was it a couple of decades now?
So 50 plus years, yeah.
Yeah, and like Singapore is a very massive economy. Like they, people earn heaps of money there.
Mm.
So I don't know, maybe that's why speaking English is like kind of cooler maybe, because like it makes them seem more global and more progressed as a country.
From my own experience, the only time that I've witnessed my friends who are Chinese by nature, who are Singapore, when I was in Singapore, the only times I did witness them speak Chinese was to talk about somebody else who's in front of them who doesn't speak Chinese. And I remember when I was working in Singapore, and my boss back then, like, she's like the biggest, meanest person. When I was working there, there was a time where, because she didn't realize I could actually understand Chinese quite well, but I only told her, I only speak English. So there was a time where she was bitching about all the people at work, right, in Chinese, and she didn't realize that I could understand exactly what she was saying. So I didn't do anything bad, but I was taking an x-ray and I left the earrings on for the x-ray. It's an OPG. Like in Australia, we don't care, or it's like a really, like not a big deal at all. But as soon as she saw the earrings, she told her assistant in Chinese, deduct $100 from Thomas's pay.
Oh my God.
So that, I was like, oh my gosh, what do I say? First of all, I lied to her, so I couldn't really call her out or anything. But me being like my first year out in the workforce, I didn't know what to do. So I just left it. But even now in Australia, even talking to my friends who are Chinese, the only time I talk to them in Chinese is to bitch about somebody.
Backstab another friend that doesn't understand the language.
Exactly.
But okay, let's talk about ourselves then, because we live in Australia. But I remember a couple of years ago, like amongst my group of friends, you know, if there was an international person, like international student or one of our friends who kept trying to speak another language that wasn't English, people kind of like eye-rolled them and kind of gave them the side eye. You know, it's kind of like uncool. Like, why are you trying to speak another language? But I feel like in recent years, I feel like a lot of us are becoming more in tune with like where our parents came from. And as we become more, you know, like globalized citizens, being bilingual is kind of cool now. Like, if you can speak another language, that's really cool. Because that means you can go and work anywhere you want to work.
100%. Actually, what you said actually gave me a bit of a memory from high school days. There was these two international kids from China, and they became best friends because obviously they were international kids. They looked the same, did everything together, everything the same. But we were in class one day, and the teacher was like to them, can you guys stop talking Chinese? Like, why are you talking Chinese? You're in Australia. And at the time, I was like, I guess I can see where it's coming from, because you're in Australia, you're supposed to improve your English, right? But I actually think about that moment quite more than I expect to. And I can kind of feel that growing up, especially in Australia, maybe one of the reasons why my Chinese isn't good and I'm scared to use it a little bit, because you always hear stories where kids who do speak their mother tongue, they get bashed up. They get called out. You get called ching chong, even walking to Macca's, you're speaking to your French if you look a certain way.
Yep.
So for me, speaking my mother tongue was a bit scary growing up. And one of my biggest regrets is not actually learning it to its full potential.
I think you're right. Like a lot of us kind of push back our mother tongue language, like what our parents speak, because we don't want to be outcasted as not Australian. I think it's really interesting because I feel like a couple of years ago, there was a sense of like, if you could speak perfect English in Australia, you're kind of like superior to those international students who didn't speak English as well as you did. And I feel like the tides is turning now. Yeah. And like, if you can speak another language, that's so cool.
I think so, yeah.
But Tom, I want to know amongst your friends, maybe you have some friends that speak the same language. I know that your Chinese isn't good, but if you had the opportunity to speak Chinese to another friend, would you do it?
Oh my God, 100%. Like now, like without even thinking, like 100%. Like I said, the only time that I do talk about in Chinese is when I talk about people in front of them. Do you remember that time when we tried to set Bao up with one of the other friends? Well, I'm not going to mention his name, but don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody this. I'm going to start on the podcast anyways. But me and Bao, okay, long story short, for those who are listening, we tried to introduce one of my best friends to one of Philip's friends.
It was the most random thing
It was
ever.
Really random.
We were just sitting at my house, and your friend Bao came to visit. And we're like, oh my God, I have another friend that I think you will get along with.
So, then we drove her to his house, match make them. And when Bao went to the toilet with me, she said to me in Chinese, I said, like, Zhen Yang, like, is everything okay? And she's like, and then she said to me in Chinese, I'm bored.
That was the most awkward setup ever.
But that's like, that's what I mean though. Like when we talk about other people, it just happens to be in Chinese. And maybe it's not a great thing that we do that because we should be positive about our mother tongue. Mm. But that's my situation. What about for you though, for your Cambo friends?
Okay, well, first of all, it's really hard to come across another person who is Cambo. There's not many of us in Australia. But for the few friends that I do have, if they, like you said, if there was an opportunity where we needed to talk about someone and we didn't want them to know that we're talking about them, we'll speak in our broken Cambo. Mm. But I tried not to because I feel really conscious about my broken Cambodian because it's not that good.
Your Cambodian is really good.
It actually is not.
Like, I've seen the way that you've yelled at your sister in Cambo. I was like, wow, impressive.
Oh, that's because I'm calling her a bitch. But look, talking about my sister though, like me and my sister, we work together very closely. Like we work in the business together. And if we had to bitch about a customer behind their back, we'll do it in Cambo. Like we will not hold back. And I think, yeah, there are times where speaking another language is really useful, especially if you're, yeah, talking to, if you're in a situation where you need to bitch about someone, yeah, it's so useful to do it without them realizing so that you can get the upper hand and say things.
Maybe we should take our mother ethnic tongue as more of a, instead of like bitching about people, we should use it to be a little bit more productive. And with Singapore, we're not shitting on Singapore. I love Singapore. Like, hello, I went to work there.
And you dated heaps of Singaporeans.
You said it like 4 times trying to shut it down.
You have like a Singapore like fetish.
Anyways.
Is it the accent?
What accent? The chicken rice accent.
All right. Look, we've got a handful of Singapore listeners. Would love to know about you guys. Like, do you personally speak English to your friends or do you speak Chinese to your friends? Do you feel like it's uncool to speak Chinese? Like, we'd love to know. Like, slide in our DMs and let us know. But for the rest of you guys, like, let us know. Like, do you wish that you were bilingual? And if you are bilingual, what are the cases that you use it in? What scenarios do you use it? There'll be more Lemon coming up. But first, here's a few words from today's sponsors. So in this segment, we're going to dig a bit deeper into our childhood traumas. And this kind of came from a post in Subtle Asian Traits. It was a post that said, what you say about your child is literally what they think about themselves. You are the first person to give them a hint about their identity. Be selective in your choice of powerful words. And from that post, hundreds and hundreds of people were commenting about how, you know, their experiences with their parents growing up has traumatized them all the way to their adulthood. Like, some of the things like their parents have said to them were like, you know, you're so fat, why are you so ugly, you're not even the prettiest. Like, now it has like caused like a bunch of adults to be so like, it's like traumatized and like insecure.
I reckon a lot of the people who are our age, I think we have a lot of emotional baggages.
We have so much baggage.
Look, we need a lot of therapy. I mean, to fix up our childhood traumas.
And that's if and that's if we believe in therapy as Asian people, because most of us don't. But Tom, I want to start off this segment by asking you, what do you think about this this sentiment? Like, do you think that a lot of us are traumatized from the words that our parents have said to us when we were young?
I used to think that these words made us a lot thick-skinned and it made it a lot stronger. So then when people call us fat, it's like exactly that segment. Who do you think, like, you think you can hurt me? I'm the oldest one in the family, right? But when I think back about this now, like, and as I do get older, I realize that exactly what you said, these words actually do hurt and they do shape us and how we think of ourselves as we do get older as well. And when I first heard about the words of life. So like going to church, right? I actually, one of the pastors actually talking about the words of life. And it made me think about how the words that we use, like saying, I love you to each other, encouraging, and how we phrase our sentences to each other. It has a huge, huge, huge impact because the way that we deliver a message can pretty much make someone's day or just pretty much ruin their whole day. And it just,
I had to think about my childhood a bit. And I think There are a lot of things that my parents have said to me that definitely has been brought to into my adulthood, and some of the issues that I'm still dealing with.
Mm. Can we dig deeper and ask what?
Yeah, I think we can. like being a child, I was always like overweight and fat. Mm. And I guess like in Cambodian, like in Khmer, there's not really a nice way to say you're fat. Thick. Can you get fit, please? Mm. Like, can you lose some weight in a nice way? There's no like nice way to say it. Like any way you say it is just going to sound really harsh. And growing up, like my mum would always comment on my weight. She'd be like, you know, you're so fat now. You need to lose weight. Like you're so fat. And like, I've always been very insecure about my body and like the way I looked. Mm. And ironically enough, it was my mum who got me to lose weight. And she was the one who made me pretty much just transform the way that I eat my food, even though she was the one who kind of like put me in that position.
Who made you fat in the first place?
Who made me fat in the position? Yeah, in the first place. So it's a bit ironic, but all the way, I'm like 27 now, but I'm still kind of like dealing with those issues that when I was younger, because now I'm trying to find my own worth and like, and accept my body. And it's just, yeah, it's just been a journey for me. But the other one that has always stuck with me is, I remember when I was young and my mom said to me, because I wouldn't share a piece of gum with my sister. Mm. And she said to me, you are selfish. and then after that, I remember she had another conversation with her friend and on the phone, and I was kind of in the next room, and she was just like saying to her friend, saying, oh, you know, oh, when I get old and when I'm 60 or 70, I don't think I can depend on Philip. I think he's going to put me in a nursing home because he's selfish. I think, you know, Karina, who's my sister, is the one going to be looking after me.
Because of that one gum situation.
I think so, yeah. And like, ever since that, as a 7-year-old kid, that has always stuck with me. And it made me really just like...
Is that why you work so hard to prove?
Maybe. Like, that's why I'm such a hard worker. Like, you know, right now, like...
Dude, that's really heavy.
Like now I run the family business and we're kind of in a position where, you know, we worked very hard over the last 5 years and we have resolved a lot of our financial issues that we've had growing up. And so like now I'm in a position where I'm providing for my family and doing so much for the family. I wonder if that's why I work so hard. Like I wonder if it's because my mom said I was selfish and I was greedy. I wanted to show her that I wasn't. Mm. So I don't know. Like that's 20 years of trauma.
I'm not Dr. Phil, but I can say, damn.
What about yourself? Like,
I think for me,
is anything that your mom has said to you that's kind of
probably heaps? But I think for me, not to put your situation down, but I think I am just a little bit more because I've been caught a lot of stuff growing up, not by my mom, by my aunties, everything as well. But I think I was lucky enough to know at a very early age, like those stick and stones may break your bones, but words can never hurt you kind of guy. I just get called whatever. But now when I am older, I do feel that a lot of the words that people have used on kids, it's very, because that's when you start to develop and you develop your self-worth. And it's a bit sad seeing how the comments on that tweet that you posted, a lot of Asian kids don't know their worth.
Mm, that's so sad.
So for me, like for example, right, what I do nowadays is, especially during COVID times, I realize that the weight of my words, especially to my mum, because like she's like for your mum, right? She probably feels that, not giving her a pass, but she probably feels like, oh, you're just family. So you can say whatever you want and just not have repercussions, right? So same thing when I talk to my mum, I have a shorter fuse compared to if I talk to everybody else. So I just make sure that the words that I do use is very picked very carefully. And I've noticed ever since that I've been very careful with my words. My relationship with my mom has gotten a lot better. And I think by doing that, she also does the same thing back unconsciously. If that makes sense.
She picks her words more carefully.
She picks her words a lot more carefully. And I think our parents didn't know what as the weight of their words growing up, because they're just trying to toughen us, right? They've been through so much and they're trying to toughen us as people. But going back to the words of life, remember when I did that rice experiment with you?
Oh, I hated this.
So there was a point in time when
it seems so pointless.
Like, no, it's so, like, this is exactly what we're talking about.
Tell the listeners what it is. They're going to think it's a waste of time.
This is exactly what I'm talking about, though. It's like, when I first found out this out about church, right, there's an experiment that you can do at home, friends, during your lockdown period. But if you get a glass, two cups I took a photo. I'll post this on our Instagram page. But if you get a cup of 2 cups, fill it up with cooked rice and water halfway. What you'd say to 1 cup, label it with love and another cup with hate. So with the first love cup, you can say like, I love you so much, cup. You're such the greatest rice in the world. But to your hate cup, you can be like, you stupid fucking rice. I hate you. Go to hell. Like say mean things. And in a couple of months, look at the difference of the rice. And for you, Philip, I feel like you've grown up with so much, not so much, but...
I was the bad cup.
You were the bad cup. But when I actually did that experiment, and I was telling you about the experiment, you don't believe me. And here we are talking about self-trauma and words and how hurtful they could be.
How unbelievable is it that, you know, you're saying these words of affirmation to a cup of rice.
A cup of rice.
And it doesn't rot, but, you know, but for the other one, if you're saying... shitty things about it, it actually goes
it does
moldy,
it goes moldy. Like the difference is so big, and we think of humans like, oh, we just say hateful things to each other, but it actually makes a difference. If you can make a difference to a cup of rice, where it's made up of so much water.
So how does this apply to the human life? So just summarize it. So
long story short,
if you say nice things to someone, they will flourish.
They will flourish. It's like a flower. When you have a pot of flower, right, and you say to the flower, I love you so much, flower, you're the prettiest flower of all. And you switch to another pot of flower, I hate you, flower, you ugly piece of shit. The one that you say love things to, it's like you're watering the plant with lots of love, loving words. And I know it sounds so spiritual and it sounds so spooky, but can someone explain to me why the flower and the cup of water, the right, that you speak love to, is so much better than one that it says hate?
Okay, all right. I didn't want to tell you, but I switched the cups around.
You didn't. I labeled it and I took a photo. Did you really?
No, I didn't. But okay, well, moving on though, I want to know, like, you know, some of our friends have kids now. Like, we're kind of at the age where a lot of our friends are getting married, having kids. Have you noticed a change in parenting styles amongst our friends compared to the previous generation?
Especially, do you know, remember corporal punishment? Like, whenever... back when I was younger, I thought corporal punishment was a great thing. Like, even in high school, it's like, the reason why I'm not acting out because my mum beat me with a broomstick or a hangar and it broke.
Totally normal.
Like, this is normal for us, right? Or with the bamboo cane.
Belt.
A belt.
I broke a few chopsticks.
Or is it? But we think this is normal growing up. But when I look back and then I analyze the parenting style, I feel like treating kids with a lot of physical punishment, with fear, as Paris Hilton's mom likes to call it, is the greatest weapon of them all, which is not. I feel like it's really bad. And look at our new generation, not our new generation, but a lot of the generation who are our age or just a little bit older, who are raising kids, their parenting styles, it's way different.
I've got an older sister and she has kids. Or she has one kid, who is my nephew. His nephew, wait, I always get confused. Nephew is boy and niece is girl, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so nephew. I have a nephew. And I just, like, observe the way she raises him. Like, she's a great parent. But, like, it's totally different to the way my dad raised me. And, like, my dad used to whack me, hit me, call me names. And I just look at her. I'm like, you were raised by the same dad as I was. But you have so much... the way she treats him is, like... it's like a piece of glass. Like, she doesn't want him to break. Like, she, like, puts him down on the table very softly. She doesn't hit him, doesn't call him names.
Oh, because the way that she was raised was so hard and she was, like, thrown as a brick. She's so scared to do that with her own child.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, and, like, she treats him like, I'm sure every parent, like, treats their kid like they're, like, the best thing in the world. But, like, with this new wave of kids, a new wave of parents, you actually see them treating them like...
Too nice. Is that why we get caught snowflakes all the time?
Probably. But yeah, I just, like, you know, for me, if I was to become a parent, and I will one day become a parent, I'll just, like, I think I might take some middle ground approach. Like, if there is a need to yell at your kids, I think you have to yell at them. Otherwise, they become too desensitized and they don't know and behave. I don't know. I think that's just me as a parent, because I was treated as the bad rice growing up. What about you, Tom? How do you think you'd be as a parent?
I don't know, actually. I hope I'll be a good parent. I'll do my best to be patient as I can, but I actually have no idea how I'll be as a parent. I'll probably be the same as my mom, like, use her as an example. I feel like I'm okay. I mean, I probably am broken in many ways.
Would you hit your kids?
That punishment is bad, but I mean...
probably not. I wouldn't. I'll time them out though. Be really white and go. Be like, go to your room.
I mean, I don't think I would hit my kids. You're looking at me thinking I'm like a serial killer.
You're definitely not the type to hit your kids, but I think you would yell at them.
I think I'll yell at them.
Yeah, you would.
I can go from 0 to 100 real quick. I don't think I'm not a physical person. Okay, let me clarify. I'm not going to hit my kids when I get older. Okay, but I probably will use very harsh tones, like very harsh tones.
Look.
If need be.
Look, all in all, you know, the one trick in the book that we know that works is, you know, if your kid is misbehaving, just tell them you're going to take the rice away.
No, tell them you got to turn off the internet.
And they have to turn off the internet as well. But guys, we'd love to know what you guys think. Like, what kind of parents do you think you would be when you're older? Like, do you think you would be the same as your parents? And also, we'd love to know if you're open enough to tell us about your childhood trauma. Tell us about, you know, some of the things that you have been dealing with because of your parents' words. Head over to our Facebook page or Instagram page and let us know what you think. All right, recommendation time. I'm going to recommend something, and then after this, we've been clickbaiting the listeners.
Have we?
This episode.
What if I'm overhyping?
We're not. It is a massive announcement. You're going to make the massive announcement, so I will make the recommendation first.
Well, but play it down. I feel like we hyped it too much.
It's a massive.
No, it's not.
It's a massive announcement. Like, it's like years in the making.
Stop!
All right, well, let me recommend first. All right, so during lockdown, I've been like watching so much Netflix, much, you know, streaming services. I'm kind of like sick of the content. Like, there's too much to watch. And I find myself like trying to find, especially during time of uncertainty, trying to find things that are a bit more familiar and a bit more easy to watch, like light to watch. And there's a few Korean dramas that kind of like consider like must watch that I haven't watched yet. And so this week I've been watching Secret Garden, which is like a classic, and it's a cult classic amongst the K-drama community. So I've been watching that, and it's been so good, like just watching something that's very cliche. But there's definitely been times where I was just like, wow, like this is so ridiculous that they're fighting about this. But yeah, I've been really enjoying like going back to watch just really cliche Korean dramas. And so if you haven't seen Secret Garden, I definitely recommend go watching that, because it stars Hyun Bin from it, and he's the guy who was in Crash Landing on You, which is like a massive Korean drama this year.
Oh, it's actually, I thought this was based on the Secret Garden, like the English movie, but it's not.
No, so if you don't know the storyline, it's pretty much this rich guy and his stunt woman. They kind of like switch bodies, and it's kind of like Freaky Friday, like the
Yep.
But yeah, it's really cliche and cheesy, but it's kind of like what you need during lockdown. Like,
question is, the reason why we like, do you know, this is a bit of a weird psychology thought, but do we like watching cliche stuff because it's predictable and we feel safe knowing what's going to happen?
And I think especially during a time of uncertainty, we want to have control about like the future, I guess, and like what's about to come. So I think, yeah, that's why I started watching this, because I wanted something a bit more cliche, something a bit cheesy, something a bit predictable. Like everything that's happened in the drama so far, I'm like, yeah, I knew that was going to come. Like, no surprises.
Well, I just diagnosed you.
Oh, you are a psychologist after all. But Tom, what do you have to share with the listeners today? Like,
it's not a big... Okay, I don't want to play it out too much, but my very first song, because a lot of those who do know me personally, I've taken 2 years out of my professional life to do music full time.
I quit my dental job
full time. Yeah,
to pursue music full time.
So now, on November 6th, my first, not my single, but I've been working with CDB, and they were pretty big back in the 90s in Australia.
CBD.
Which is the city?
Yeah, CBD.
CBD is a city. Yeah. So it's CDB.
CBD.
CBD is a city, right?
Yeah. Central District.
But they're the opposite. They're the CDB. Wait, what?
Yeah, you said CDB.
What does the city stand for?
Central Business District.
CBD.
Yeah.
Oh, so it's CDB.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you said
CDB. Yeah, that's right. CDB.
Wait, are we living this in all cutting out?
You're the one who's actually getting it wrong.
This reminds me of the time where, because I have a friend named Monica Yu, and you came to me like something about Monica Yu.
You had a friend called Monica, and you were saying how she is now working for the Premier Dan Andrews, and then you were like, it's Monica. And like, you, as in why you, her last name, you're like, no, Monica, you.
I'm like, no, Monica, like, yeah, aren't you listening?
Anyways, my song is coming out on November 6th, and I wrote it with my co-writer, Brad. And it's a Christmas song, so it's going to be quite positive and quite festive. But we put a lot of work and a lot of energy into this song. So if you guys can check it out, stream it. It's like 0.001 cents per stream for me. This is how I'm going to get paid.
I know, he hasn't worked for 2 years, guy. Like, he needs some money. But this is a massive deal, though. This is 2 years in the making. You've written, like, hundreds of songs now, right?
We've written over like 200 songs.
Over 200 songs, and now you have your
first song
getting published by an actual band who is signed to a major label. Are they signed to a major
Sony.
Label? They're signed to Sony. Like, that's a massive deal. They were pretty big in the 90s as well.
They were.
And are we allowed to say who else is on the track?
Johnny Diesel.
So Johnny Diesel is like a rock legend icon in Australia, and he's also going to be singing on the track. So why are you downplaying it? It's a massive achievement.
I don't know. This is my childhood trauma. Probably not to overhype things, because I just don't want... Because you know when you overhype things and it just doesn't deliver? So I'm the one who likes to play it down. And then if it does become successful, I'll be like, I wrote that song. That was me.
But I've heard it, and I think it's going to be a Christmas classic.
Oh, thanks.
So I'm really excited to hear this song, you know, on Spotify and on the radio. It's just so cool.
I'm going to put this out there in the universe, and Jesus, please be listening to this. But what my goal is that even though it does come out from another band, I hope an American person does pick it up and they cover it. That is where it's going to take off. So hopefully, fingers crossed, that happens.
Look, let's not name names, but... Am I allowed to say, like, we've had a few interest? You had a few interests from a few big names in America.
No, don't say it, just in case.
We're not. Huh? What? Did you say the name?
No, I said Megan Trainor.
Did you. Wait, are we like, keeping this in?
No, who cares? Just say Megan Trainor.
Well, yeah, Megan Trainor. So, Megan Trainor, who we all know that loves that bass, all about that bass, she was interested in purchasing.
No,
well, her manager.
Her team
was interested.
Looking for songs like this.
So her team was interested in one of your songs.
Mm.
So I don't know why you're downplaying. I think you're on something big is about to happen with your
career.
Not
this Christmas song was a different song. I do have a few songs that people have already sung, not coming out yet. And when they do come out, I'll let you guys know so you guys can stream it.
And they do involve really big celebrities. Like, okay, I just love hyping
it up.
I'll stop. But look, you have a Christmas song. Is there a title for it yet?
I think it's called Christmas Is Here. I don't know what the title is, because every time when we write a new song, we call it really odd names. Like, Brad and I call it Chrissy Chrissy.
Chrissy Chrissy.
Or we write another song about love, and we call it, like, Toilet. Because, like, the idea comes from these things. And I think the song is called Christmas Is Here. So November 6th, guys, if you can, stream it, share it. That's all I ask for. That would be amazing.
Are you going to allow us to play the song on the podcast without royalties?
Yeah, I wrote it.
Maybe for Christmas, since Christmas is coming up, we should have it as our intro song.
Yes.
We're going to start Christmas early and start playing our intro songs. Are we allowed to do that? Are you going to ask for royalties?
What do you mean? I wrote the song. Can I play it?
I'm asking you. Are you willing to give us the royalties to play it for free?
Yeah, I wrote it.
Look, guys, it's coming out on November 6th, so please stream it. We will definitely post the link up once it's out. But yeah, thank you so much for joining us all the way to the end. It's been a very lengthy episode, and as always, if you have anything you want to contribute or anything you want to say, any topic suggestions, head over to our Facebook page or Instagram page and let us know. And if you are listening to this and you haven't subscribed to us, make sure you go to whatever podcast app you're listening to, leave us a review, subscribe to us, follow us, and then, yeah, like, welcome to the fam. You're getting all that lemon zest.
What?
I don't know where I'm going with this. I'm just going to try and end this really quickly now.
I'm secondhand embarrassment.
All right, just try and cut out as much as you can. But thank you so much for joining us. As always, we'll see you guys next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Looking for a new podcast to listen to? Here's what we love, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Join me, Kim Zolciak-Bierman, and my husband, Corey Bierman, for a brand new episode of House of Kim every Wednesday, where we unapologetically share the ups and downs of our unpredictable life with six kids that you may have seen on Bravo TV. I have been a parent since I was 18 years old and was a single parent for many, 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 many years. When you become a mother, you'll understand that drive to succeed, that passion. They give you another force behind your body that you'll never understand until you're there. And just like you guys, we are always trying to find a way to inspire and increase positivity in our daily lives. A little something like this.
It's your life. You should live your life, and you should want to live your life to the best and fullest. Do what makes you happy.
Listen to House of Kim on Acast or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast recommends.